Our mailbox has letters from John, and we continue to preach through these New Testament letters from the point of writing this ancient apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd find 1 John chapter 4. Today we preach through verses 1 through 6. Well, school is approaching, and that brings different emotions for different people. The parents are saying yes, the kids are saying no, but I think probably the kids are tired of being bored. They're ready to get back in the swing of things. With school comes tests, and nobody really likes to take tests, but if I had a favorite test, it would be a true-false test, because you got a 50-50 shot at that one, right? I found in true-false tests, the teachers would always slip in some little sneaky ones. They would have just enough stuff to try to fool you, to deceive you, and make you miss it. Maybe they were trying to make you think. I don't know. But there's always the possibility of hitting the true, hitting the false, getting deceived, and missing it. Well, today in this text, the Apostle John gives us a true-false test. And there's only two questions. In order to be right with God, we have to get both answers correct. Now, you may think, well, 50-50. I got a 50-50 chance at this. Actually, that's pretty good odds, but when it comes to eternity, I don't want to have 50-50 odds, do you? I want to be nailed right on 100%, no doubt about it. And so I would ask you today to take this true-false test that the Apostle John lays out for us. Now, let me just say, first of all, that scattered throughout these letters of John, he warns about us getting deceived. And so what that means is deception is possible. In fact, we live in a world that is full of people who are trying to deceive us. There are con men, there are shysters, there are financial schemes. All of that is designed to deceive us and make us trust someone to give them our money. That's basically what the deception is all about. And so just as there are deceivers in the world in which we live, there are also deceivers in the spiritual realm as well. So he begins this section, look at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so already in the first century, there were these false prophets who were out attempting to deceive these followers of Christ, most of them doing it in order to get some type of financial gain. And so God had placed in the first century church some checks and balances to help determine when somebody was trying to deceive the church. Now, they didn't have the Bible yet. They had some scattered letters from some apostles. They had the words that the apostles had taught them. And so in every local body, you had a group of people who were gifted with the spiritual gift of prophecy. And so when some passing through prophet came and he said, well, here's what God has shown me and this is what the Spirit says. This council of prophets, as it were, would listen to that. And if it didn't pass the smell test, in other words, if it didn't pass what they had been taught from the apostles, then they would say, whatever that's from, that's not of God, and would prevent that church from being deceived. Now, in our age and time, we have a really great checks and balances, and it's basically found within the context of Scripture. And so when we talk about taking a test, we talk about the possibility of being deceived, a big thing to recognize is this, that truth never contradicts Scripture. I mean, whatever's coming, if somebody comes up to you and says, well, this is what God's Spirit has said to me, and they begin to say stuff that contradicts Scripture, that wasn't the Spirit of God that spoke to them. Because the Spirit of God is never going to say something to you that contradicts the written Word of God. And so we have these built-in things that help us from falling into deception. Now, sometimes it's easier to see through a deception than others. There's a televangelist named Jesse Duplantis. Have any of you ever heard him on TV? About a month ago, he said that God had told him that he needs to ask his followers to buy him a $55 million private jet so he can zip around to his speaking engagement. He said that if Jesus were alive today, he wouldn't be riding on a donkey. Meaning, I guess he'd have one of these airplanes. And then he said whenever he flies public airways, he has to fly with demons. Well, flying public airlines, I can't argue with that a whole lot. Now, I'm one of his followers, and he tells me that, you know what, that does not pass a smell test with me. Somebody else is going to have to give you $55 million, Brother Jesse. I am not going to do it. And so some are easier to discern than others. So while I'm on that subject, let me just encourage you, you know the best place where you can financially invest in the kingdom of God? It's in the local church. Because there's accountability, there is stability. You can see what's happening with those finances. You can see changed lives. You can see what's going on. And so I'm not saying any other ministries outside of a church are not valid, but I'm saying the safest investment is right here in the local body, and particularly here in our church. Man, we've got such stability here, it's almost amazing. You know, we've had two pastors since 1960. Did you know that? That's a long time. One of those two guys was really good looking. A really great theologian and preacher. His name's Jerry Griffin. But you think about it, the stability and the strength of that is absolutely astounding. And so there's a high level of trust that we have with one another, and that is a beautiful thing. And it's not in every church, but it is certainly in ours. And so there's no deception at all happening in the confines of our incredible church family. So in this age of deception, let's heed what he says. The last part of verse 6, you'll note, of chapter 4, he says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So he's just shared with some stuff and concludes by saying, you put these principles in place and you'll know what's true and what's false and you'll pass the test. Now, we're going to see how good you are at taking tests and grading papers. If there's a test that has two questions on it, and you get one right, and you get one wrong, what is your grade? 50. Is 50 a passing grade? You'll get a big, fat F. Let's say you take a test and you get the first question right, you miss the second. Your grade. Failing. Let's say that you get the first one wrong, but you get the second one right. What's your grade? 50, which is a big fat F, failing. Now, like you say, 50-50 may be good odds for some stuff, but when you're standing in eternity, I don't think you want to go 50-50. And so this thing about being deceived, think about it. What could be a greater strategy that Satan could have than to make you think you're okay when you're not okay? And so you die, everybody's going to die, and you step out thinking you're okay, and you stand before God and you think, heaven is in front of me. This is going to be beyond awesome. And you stand before God and he says, well, you got the first one right, but you failed the second one. You thought you were good. You were deceived. Could anything be more tragic than that? Could you think of anything more tragic than that? And so we have this idea of the possibility of deception. Last night, it was a little thing on TV, and it was talking about pink collar crimes. Anybody else see that? And it was people who had conned their own family out of their finances. And it was telling a story about this woman who was posing as a financial advisor, and her family was investing all their money, but she was taking it and living a very lavish lifestyle. And when they found out what had happened, it devastated them. But what would be more devastating, to think that you're okay standing before God and you're not okay? So that's why we're going to take a true-false test today. All right? So, the first question is regarding our confession, what we agree with. Now, look at verses 2 and 3. He says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already." And I would add, is still in the world today. And so you have this battle going on. It's an unseen battle. We can't see it with our eyes. And so you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Antichrist, and they are battling, and the spoils are the souls of men. And so the Spirit of Antichrist has false prophets, just as the Spirit of Jesus has true prophets. And the prophets of Antichrist are trying to deceive us, to fool us, while the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is imparting truth. And so this is a battle that's going on. You know, even our culture recognizes this. Look at the movies that are being made. A lot of things about demons and angels and zombies and werewolves and evil and good, bad guys and good guys, recognizing the battle that's going on. Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So I would just let you recognize that right now, as you're sitting in the chairs, as I'm preaching, there is spiritual warfare occurring all around us. You can't see it, but you have the Spirit of God who's speaking and exposing truth and bringing conviction and touching us. And then you have the Spirit of Antichrist that's doing everything possible to prevent the Spirit of Christ from doing what he wants to do in your life and mine. So please be aware that even as we speak today, there is spiritual warfare that is going on all around you and all around me. So, well, let's talk about the test, our confession, the true portion. Our confession, the word confess means to agree. So, when we talk about our confession, what we say that we believe, the true answer is, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He's not a good man. He is a God man. He is an incredible combination, unique. Nobody else ever like him, ever will be like him again. Fully man, fully God. God in the flesh. And when we make that confession, what we're saying is, God in the flesh, I embrace his teachings. I embrace the lifestyle that he would have me live. I embrace his convictions. I embrace everything about him because he is God who has come in the flesh. And what I agree with the words that I say, is that Jesus is God in the flesh. And then you have the false. One that would say, well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that he is God in the flesh. So a survey that indicated that about 56% of Americans, and I don't know, you know, you hear all these surveys and polls, and sometimes they miss, don't they? But about 56% of Americans say that they believe that the God of the Bible is actually God. If you parse that down to say, well, how many of those actually believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, you'd get a little bit smaller. And then you've got a little over 20% or so, 30, that say they believe that there is a higher power. But they would certainly deny Jesus as God in the flesh. And about 10% say they don't believe in any God at all. And so there's plenty of those who are following the spirit of Antichrist who are culture influencers who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And they are impacting us in incredible and almost unnoticeable ways. This last trip we took to Israel, we had an incredible guide. Man, he was awesome. We all connected with him right off the bat. He was knowledgeable. He was jovial. He was friendly, great personality. He was a Jewish man. He was Jewish by heritage, meaning that his family lineage is Jewish. In fact, all of his grandparents had been executed during the Holocaust. So he was the full-blooded Jewish man. And so I asked him, I said, what, do you fully embrace Judaism? Are you active, involved in synagogue and he worshiped. He said, well, no. He said, I go like on special holy days. So he's like Christians in America that go to church on Easter and Christmas. And so I said, well, you know, you're with Christian people leading these tours. You know all the holy sites. You know what happened at the holy sites. You know what the New Testament says. You're very knowledgeable. You got an incredible amount of information. I said, well, what do you think of Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, well, I tell you, I believe he was a great man and a great teacher, but I do not believe that he was God. So here's a really good man living under the deception of the Antichrist. By the way, let me just say this. You may know somebody who would say something like that as well. In fact, you may believe that yourself. If somebody was a really good teacher, wouldn't they teach truth? I mean, could you be a good teacher and teach lies? I'm the greatest math teacher in the world. 2 + 2 = 7. That wouldn't work, would it? And so Jesus Christ, being a great teacher, taught that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No man goes to the Father except through him. And so it's incredibly inconsistent to say, I believe he's a great man and a good teacher, but not believe what he taught. It's just astounding for the deception. And so we have then this first test. My question to you today would be this. What do you say about Jesus of Nazareth? It's a true-false test. The deception would say, well, put him a good man, put him a mythical man, put him a great teacher, a great healer, an influencer, but stop short of saying that he's actually God in the flesh. Or would you say and agree, confess, well, my answer to that question is Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I hope that's where you all are, because that's true and the right answer for the first question. So that's 50% of it, right? Halfway home? Well, let's look at the second question. And this is the area of response. Now, let me just tell you, especially in America, we're really good at saying the right words. Would you agree? I mean, you got athletes and stuff and movie people, Hollywood type, they'll have the cross around their neck and they'll have all kind of symbols and they'll type the right language. But when you look at their life and their convictions, it just does not match. We're real good at making the talk, and that passes one test. But in many ways, it's this second question that either validates or invalidates what we say. And so look at what it says, verses 3 through 5. Little children, you are from God. You've answered that Jesus is God in the flesh. And you have overcome them, meaning those who do not agree with that, you've overcome them. And if you underline stuff in your Bible, here's where you need to start underlining. Got a pencil? Or a mascara? Y'all don't even know what mascara is, do you? Do women still use mascara? Oh. I learned something today. Well, mark it. Look. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So in this battle, you've got these unseen forces. The one in us is greater than the one of the world. And because our confession is true, we've got the greater one in us, which allows us to be an overcomer. It says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So in this issue of response, what's the true answer? Well, it comes from God, and we are overcomers. And so we've got this God within us, and when you're walking with God and you're living the Christian life, there's a lot of obstacles that you will face. But you overcome the obstacles. There is a lot of adversity that's going to come your way. But you will overcome the adversity. There is criticism that will come your way, but you will overcome the criticism. Not because you're so good and awesome, but because the one in you is greater than the ones bringing all that against you. And so we live a life of overcoming. And when we say, yes, I'm living a life that's true to the Lord Jesus Christ. My lifestyle is honoring Him. My convictions are based in biblical truth. My devotion is to Jesus Christ above all else. And your life then expresses and puts truth to what your mouth has said. And thus you pass the second part of the test. Overcomers. I got a call yesterday from a pastor friend, and at his church he's doing like special Sunday nights in August that he's invited a bunch of different preachers in to preach at his church. And so the guy that he had for tonight had to bail on him, and so he grabbed whatever he could find and asked me to come pinch hit for him. And so I told him yes, and said, you realize the pinch hitter averages about 200, which won't get you in the Hall of Fame. However, that is more than Joey Gallo's batting. But he does hit a lot of home runs. And so I had preached at his church before, but I didn't remember when. So I came, and I've got a little thing that shows me where I've preached before. And I pulled up Central Baptist Church in Kiev, Russia. It's great that we got our Russian former missionaries here. And so it's our second mission trip to Kiev. And we was with one of the pastors in the outlying area. And we were downtown doing some work. And this big, gigantic church was there. Some would call it First Baptist. It's called Central Baptist. And so it was the church that was the only one that they could have in town, in the city during the Soviet reign. So we're standing looking at that, and I said, man, it'd be awesome if I could preach in that. And he said, what? He acted surprised. You want to preach there? I said, absolutely, man. Something wrong with you? And he said, well, let's see. So we went in the door, and there was this Gestapo lady guarding the door. I mean, she was scary. And he talked to her for a couple minutes, and then she pushed the button and the door opened, and we went inside the next area, and there were some staff guys there. We talked with them, and then they opened the door. We went in to talk to the pastor. Really big office. He'd been there a long time. In fact, he had been the pastor during the Soviet time, seen the wall fall, gone through all that. And so for about 2 hours, had an intriguing conversation with that guy. It was incredible. So at the end of our conversation, he said, hey, would you like to preach tonight? It's Wednesday night, which they have big church service on Wednesday night, not like us. Just thought I'd throw that in there. And he said, I want you to preach tonight. I said, fine, that'd be awesome. So they had to go find a coat and tie because I wasn't wearing one. You can't preach without that coat and tie. You think you have it hard here, but you lived over there. When they have church, they have three sermons in every worship service. And so the tricky thing about it is nobody knows who's going to be preaching it. So if you're a man and you're going into a church service in Kiev or in Russia, man, you don't know. That preacher may walk up to you and put his hand on his shoulder and say, you're up today. You got something. You're ready to go. Now, if it was that way here and I walked up to you before church, you would go the other way really fast. And so the third slot is a slot of honor, and they put me in the third slot, and I got to preach. It was an awesome experience. And so I tell you that to tell you that I didn't get to do that because of how great and awesome and good I am. I did it because I was with a guy that can make it happen. And so as we're living our lives and we face a challenge and we face criticism, we face all this stuff, we're not going to get over that on our own, but we will overcome because of the one who's living within us, the one that's with us. And so I will just tell you that we are a body of people. We are a race of people who are overcomers, and we're overcomers because we know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come in the flesh. Now, if we fail this test, then that response, that lifestyle, is not going to equal our confession. It's going to miss. Now, he says, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Now, don't underestimate the power that the world has to seduce us and deceive us. I want to tell you that I have known many, many people in my years of ministry who at one time were on fire for God, filled with the Spirit, and just absolutely astounding in what God was doing in their lives. And they got sucked into the world. They began to concentrate on other stuff. They lost their joy. They began to put their emphasis on other things. And Jesus Christ began to take the back seat because they didn't tap into the power that was in their life. And so now their lives are lived just like somebody that was lost. But I've also seen people who've gone through that cycle and come back, and that's a great hope for us all. And so the lure of this world is very strong. It is a lure to take us into convictions that are unbiblical, lifestyles that are unbiblical, values that are unbiblical. And what happens is we begin to live just like the Antichrist world, but we hang on to the lingo. And we fail the test. Now, I'm not preaching a salvation by works. Man, we're saved by grace through faith and that alone. But what I am telling you is the Bible tells us that when we have been saved by grace through faith alone, it has an incredible impact on the way we live for the rest of our life. And so there's a two-part test. Now, I will tell you this. One of the greatest detriments to the gospel is to see people who have the right lingo and say the right words, but their lives preach a different story. It's a great hindrance to the gospel. And let me tell you something that may be worse, and that is preachers that preach a little less than the true gospel, and they inoculate their hearers to the true gospel. Because there's nothing worse than living your life thinking you're okay, and when you stand before God, discover you are not. Well, let me get ready to close this up today. And I want to give you some deceptions that are very common that can make us fail the test. The first one is, look, you got baptized, you got membership in a church, you checked that box off in your life, you're going to go to heaven, so nothing else matters. Do your life as you see fit. I want to tell you there's just enough truth in that to make it palatable, but it is inherently false. You'll fail the test. And then there are those who would hear that spirit of Antichrist say, well, there's no hurry. Don't get in a rush. You got plenty of time. Enjoy what your life is now. There's always going to be a chance for you to get right with God. Well, the great danger in that is that the longer you stay away from God, the harder your heart becomes. And the harder your heart becomes. And you can get to a point where you can't even hear God speak anymore. And so it is a hurry. It is urgent. And this needs to be your day to get your life right with the Lord. And then there are those who will say, now look, don't go overboard with this religious stuff. No reason to become a zealot. No reason to do all of that. Just don't go overboard. We've actually had parents tell their kids that. I mean, they'll go to camp, they'll do this, and they get on fire for God, and the parents, they'll co-water and say, look, don't go nuts over the religious stuff. Can you believe that? Well, I would just tell you, I don't know anything that'd be better to go nuts over to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this one, and this is just gigantic. Look, preacher, this is my life, and I want to enjoy it. And I want to drink everything up that I can. And so I'm just going to live. It's my life to live. And I can be right with God and do whatever I want to do. Well, it is your life. It's the only one you got, the only one you're going to get. And I would just tell you, being it's the only one you're going to get, you're going to get one shot to pass or fail this test. So you really need to pass it. Let me give you some encouragement for a moment. What can we do to ensure we pass the test? First of all, make certain, there's no question, that you have made that commitment by faith to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master and Savior. I mean, that's the crux of the whole thing. Yes, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Yes, He died for me. And yes, I embrace Him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe the Bible. I believe the whole thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Make certain that that commitment is there. And the second thing I would ask you to do is just take the next step of obedience that God has in front of you. And when you take that step of obedience, you're going to find the overcoming part starts happening. You begin to overcome. Now, that first step of obedience could be very basic. It could be baptism. I will tell you some really great news. This summer, we've had over 50 children who've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's awesome. We've had a large number of our students that have too. And so we're encouraging them to take that next step of obedience to publicly follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's awesome. It may be a church membership. We've had a lot of visitors this summer, been checking us out. Maybe God wants you to become a part of it. That's the next step maybe for you. You can do that today. It could be in the area of finances. It could be in the area of getting plugged into a ministry somehow. It could be in some lifestyle issue. You know that there are issues in your life that are not pleasing God, and He's saying, turn from that and drop that and move forward with me. And so take the next step of obedience and don't wait. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, but take the step. And so I will tell you, we're all going to take this test. Every one of us. We're in the process of answering it right now. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Is He really God in the flesh? Is His word really true? Yes, I believe that. Then is your life one of being an overcomer? Based on the fact that it's rooted and grounded in that relationship with Jesus Christ. True or false? I pray that the answer to both are true. Now, I would again tell you that 50-50 odds, they may be great in some areas. But man, when you talk about eternity, that's not so great. Would you like to die thinking you're halfway there? I think I'll make it. My odds are 50-50. But what's even worse than that is to think that you've answered it all right and you're 100% in when you've been deceived and you're not in at all. You say, well, how can I prevent that? Greater is the one in you than he that's in the world. Confess Him as Lord, Master, Savior. And just follow Him in obedience. Now, we're getting ready to sing the last song of the morning, Time of Praise, great worship song. We need to really do that. And while we're singing, there's an invitation that's extended. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and never had a chance to make that confession, then make your way to one of our staff who will be here and just tell them that. I need to embrace Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. And that will be an awesome moment. If there are other decisions that you need to make about obedience, maybe baptism, maybe church membership, this is the time to come and get that process underway. Speak to one of our staff and it'll be making it easy for you as we possibly can. And maybe there are lifestyle issues that you realize, man, I need to get out of this and I need to change this and I need to get on board with this. Then maybe you'll just want to come and kneel on the steps and pray a little bit. We had some parents praying with their kids this morning, getting ready to go back to school, college and stuff. Maybe you want to do that. But this is the moment that we can simply follow in obedience to what Jesus Christ is saying to us. Last verse, it's kind of an audacious verse. First part of verse 6, John says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And so I would just tell you that as long as I'm preaching the Scripture, I can say the same thing. If you're listening to what I've said to you today, then you're from God. If you didn't listen, you just say, you're not from God. Can it get any more black and white than that? So, as we're worshiping and as God is speaking, let's make certain you got the right answers to this true-false test. Stand together and worship. Staff's here to greet you. You have the freedom. You come right now.